Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture.
What is temperance? So if we're looking at the mean and all these rights, this is the way the word is usually translated, the Greek word sophrosyne, temperance. Do we use that word much in our culture?
No.
So we need to substitute something for it. I think this is one that you guys can relate to fairly easily, moderation. That one, is that one that we use when we're talking about things? You should do what in moderation? What do you see advertisements for all the time? To eat in moderation? Yes, that's a good one. Sleep in moderation. Drink, yeah. We've actually started to require alcohol sellers to, you know, have a little disclaimer at the end. You should drink in moderation. So when it's Bud or Miller or whatever it is that they're trying to sell on TV, they always come up with this little thing at the end. After showing people just like partying their hearts out, they're going to say, yeah, no, don't drink quite so much as these guys. There's a reason for that. Now, moderation in the sense that Aristotle is talking about is concerned with bodily pleasures. And it's very, very specific. As a matter of fact, I think that in order to make this work, we want to deviate from Aristotle. And that's, in fact, what moral theorists who have used Aristotle have done, like Thomas Aquinas, for example. Aristotle will actually go so far as to say, well, it's not just any bodily pleasure that counts. It's pleasures primarily of taste and touch. And really not so much of taste, and much more of touch. You know, so think about eating food, right? When somebody eats food, there is something to this. When somebody eats food, if they eat too much, typically, it may be because they actually eat too fast. And they're just sort of stuffing themselves, sort of filling themselves. And you could give them poor-tasting food, and they'll eat that just as much as good-tasting food. Aristotle might be out of something there. But is it possible, especially in our society, you know, Aristotle didn't, I think, conceive of a time when any kind of food you could possibly want is available to you pretty readily at a high level of development, almost anywhere you go in this nation. Maybe taste actually does figure into it as well. And maybe some other pleasures. Now, what are other pleasures of touch? He talks about the pleasures, you know, involving sex, right? And he also actually says explicitly, I'm not talking about touch like, you know, people who go to the public baths. The Greeks and the Romans had public baths where you'd go in the water, and the water was nice to be in because it was often heated, you know. It's nice to take a hot bath, right? And these weren't people who bathed necessarily every day, so, you know, it's nice to take a bath anyway. And then they'd have, like, oil that was put on them, and they'd often get a massage out of that, too. They actually put on so much oil, so much olive oil, they had scrapers to scrape the excess oil off of them. And, you know, so think about, like, going to the spa. That's really what he's talking about. Can you be too indulgent, self-indulgent with that? Or can that be a matter of moderation? I think in our society it makes sense to talk about that. And even sleep. I think that could fit in here as well. You could sleep too much, you know, deprive yourself too much of sleep, you could have just the right amount. And Aristotle is going to pose a couple of vices to this. So, what's too much? Self-indulgence. And what's too little? He says, this is interesting, he says, we don't really have a name for this because it's more rare. It's harder to find. I wonder if in our society if that's still the same case. He calls it something like insensibility. And he means by this something like a inability to enjoy pleasurable things. I think we could probably also think of some people who sort of willingly deprive themselves of pleasures, and they almost kind of get a kick out of that. They try to, you know, make themselves eat the cheapest stuff they can, and you know, if they can just force themselves to do all these different things, maybe, you know, not sleep enough, then it feels like they're in charge of themselves. So maybe that would be over on the other extreme of Aristotle too. That would not be a matter of temperance. Because the temperate person actually does enjoy things. You know, Aristotle is not anti-pleasure. He's not saying, don't enjoy yourself at all. He's saying that this person here in the middle, they desire pleasant things to the right amount. they desire pleasant things the way that they ought to. And so what kind of pleasant things do they desire? Well, he says, when it comes to the natural pleasant things, what are things that we find naturally pleasant? We don't have to be taught to enjoy these. There's some smells we like, and there's some smells we don't, right? If you actually come to like repugnant smells, it's because you've probably like gotten used to it and trained yourself to it. Like, you know, for me, it's kind of silly, but most people don't like the smell of diesel. Not you know, the fuel by itself, but like the exhaust. And I like it kind of for a stupid reason. It reminds me of my military days. Because, you know, I was young back then, and, you know, everything was running all the time, and everything ran on diesel. Now, that's a dumb reason to like that smell. And most people don't like that smell, right? You don't want exhaust near you. What are smells you like? Think about the candles that sell the best. That's one way to tell what smells people like. People like pine trees. People like cookie dough. People like lavender and vanilla. Things like that, right? How do you know? Those candles sell particularly well. You're not going to find a lot of candles for cat litter. I hope not. Because there are certain things that we naturally like. What about food? Are there foods that we, you know, in general as human beings tend to like to eat, and then things that we tend to be kind of turned off from? What makes food taste good? Think about what two components.
Salt and sugar.
Oh, actually I should say three components, yeah. Salt, sugar, and what do you need to sort of like keep everything a vehicle for things? We have too much of it in a lot of our food. Fat. Now, we like these things. Can you have too much salt? Yeah. We have way too much sugar in a lot of the stuff that we eat, but it's because we like the taste of sugar. We like sweet things. If it's not sugar, it'll be honey or something like that. These other flavors. And fat. Fat is what makes things taste good in a lot of respects. And then, you know, there's good fats and bad fats. We don't have to get into all the dietetics and that sort of thing. This person is actually going to like those things, but they'll like them to the right amount. They don't have a mastery over this person. With the self-indulgent person, the pleasures master them. The pleasures make them make the choices that they do. And they'll take too much of it. They don't have a good cutoff point. When they do cut off, it's not going to be because they actually recognize it's a good thing to be self-controlled. It'll be because somebody else forces them. When it comes to all these other kinds of pleasures, this person enjoys them to the right amount. They enjoy the right kinds of pleasures. They enjoy them in the right way. Think about people who are really, really hungry. This is kind of an extraordinary case. You put a meal in front of them, what do? They scarf it up, right. We actually have all sorts of, you know, terms for this, right? And it's interesting, too, because you can find, look at every language, there are terms for this sort of thing. In German, there's Essen and Fressen. Fressen is like, just, you know, shove everything in your face. Now, if you're not really that hungry, should you be shoving everything into your face? That would probably be a sign that you're over here. This person enjoys things in the right way. You could put stuff in front of them, and if everybody isn't seated and everybody doesn't have their meal, maybe they can hold on for a little while and not immediately jump into it. They're self-controlled. When it comes to other pleasant things and desires, the person who's self-controlled pursues them as they should in a certain kind of orderly. He says, so long as they don't interfere with their ends, their other goals, the things that they value. Because pleasure is a good, right? Bodily pleasures are goods too. They can stand in the way of other things. Eating too much can keep you from doing a lot of things you'd like to do, right? It's fitting in your clothes. What other goods can it interfere with? What about health? That's a real good, isn't it? Indulging yourself too much in eating and drinking can interfere with that. Another thing he says, they don't pursue pleasures in ways that are contrary to sort of not just other goods, but higher goods. Goods that are acknowledged as having sort of nobility to them. They also don't pursue pleasures beyond their means. So somebody who is poor is not going, and they are moderate, they're not going to indulge themselves. They will eat beans and rice. Here's one way too, by the way. If you're poor and you're in America at least, and you want to get yourself out of debt, you live on beans and rice for a while. Because beans and rice, you know, they make a protein that you could live on for a long time. They're as cheap as you can come up with. And if you learn how to cook them well, it doesn't take long to learn how to cook them well. It tastes okay. You don't have to live on pizza all the time. What about now when it comes to sex? Again, there would be sort of a moderate amount. Do we naturally desire sex? Yeah. I mean, there are some people who are asexual, who apparently don't have any sort of sexual desire, but that's usually seen as something, there's something wrong with, you know, brain chemistry, or perhaps organically. They may actually be what Aristotle calls insensible, people who, you know, lack a, an appreciation of pleasure. If you indulge yourself in sexual desires, can that be a problem? I mean, what would be the extreme over here? What do we call that? Sex addicts, right? People who simply cannot keep themselves from engaging in sexual behavior, no matter what the context is. There are some contexts where you shouldn't be, not even just like not having sex, there are some contexts where it's inappropriate even to like flirt with somebody, right? Would you say? The person who's over on this end, really, really far at this extreme, can never turn it off. That's a very dangerous way to be, isn't it? Imagine not being able to control yourself to that extent. Now, Aristotle doesn't think of, you know, it's like a light switch, either here or here or here. We're oftentimes, you know, somewhere in between here. But this is a good one to think about as well. So now remember, the person who's over here, they do feel pleasure. They desire pleasure. They desire it to the right amount. And when it comes to sex, that's probably naturally a fairly high amount. But they don't indulge themselves in ways that actually contravene other goods for them. What would be other goods that indulging yourself sexually could screw up? We talked about health, right? Be kind of risky when it comes to health with that sort of thing. What else, though? Very good. That's really a key thing. If you want to be in a committed relationship, unless it's, you know, a very open relationship, which is, there may be problems with that in commitment, right? Maybe there's an intrinsic disconnect there. You can't just indulge yourself want to, can you? You can't even indulge yourself any way you want to with that person with whom you're in the relationship with. Because if you only treat them as a sex object, as something to satisfy your desires, after a while they're going to start to complain, aren't they? They're going to say, this isn't a relationship, this is just hooking up. So if you want certain goods, you can't be indulging yourself all the time. You guys are college students too. Think about some other goods that are guaranteed to you by being temperate, that if you were, or being moderate, if you were self-indulgent, you probably couldn't continue. Goods that are attained by you being at college, yeah.
Drugs?
No, that would be the opposite. That'd be like, you know, stuff that would be self-indulgent. I mean, you could actually say, yeah, I want to be, I don't want to, you know, be sexually promiscuous, because that allows me to have a better, you know, access to drugs. But then that would be just exchanging one pleasure for another, right? What are you guys trying to do here in college?
Learn.
Learn. Okay, so can you indulge yourself as much as you like and actually learn anything? No. I mean, some people go to college and that's all they do, and then they come out and they haven't actually learned anything. Sometimes they don't actually graduate. You have to have some self-control. You have to have some proportion, some sense of being in charge of your own desires and your enjoyment of pleasures, or you can't progress. It's not just learning that you guys are here for, too, right? What else do you guys want out of life that your college is going to give you? And it's a good. We've talked about this before.
A piece of paper that will get you a job.
Yeah, you don't want the piece of paper. You want the job, right? And you don't just want a job because you guys could have those. You guys want a
career.
You want something fulfilling for you. And again, if you lack moderation, if you indulge yourself in whatever pleasures you want to, you place that good of pleasure above the good of having the career. They're incompatible to a certain extent. I suppose there could be some careers where maybe it would be possible to indulge yourself quite a bit. You know, like, even chefs can't eat as much as they want, whenever they want to, or else they wind up, you know, being very large. If you were a liquor salesman, you couldn't just drink all the time, could you? And be a good liquor salesman? So there's, even with that, there's certain limit points. What about this end? Aristotle thought there's very few people like this. What do you guys think? Are there people who don't take enough pleasure, who are sort of anti-pleasure? They're not really, you know, self-controlled or moderate. They just don't enjoy pleasant things. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be like, not self-indulgent, but like people who
that's exactly it. And again, there's certain gaps. Aristotle, because of his culture and because of his position in his culture, there are certain experiences that he didn't encounter very often. But I think, yeah, we in our culture, we have a lot of people who actually like swing from one extreme to the other, don't they? They feel unworthy of having legitimate pleasure, the pleasure that this person enjoys, and so they, you know, they're very rigorous, very ascetic, and then suddenly they go off the wagon, and when they do, it's like, you know, there are no rules anymore for at least a little while, and then they start feeling bad about that, and then they swing back to here. People do this with food, people do this with drinking, people do this with drugs, people do this with sexuality. I don't know too many people who do this with sleeping, but maybe there's some who do it with sleeping. Some people do it with indulgence of other bodily desires and pleasures. So yeah, I think you're right. That is something that we could fit into this.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.